Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2021, Eternal Blue by Spirit Box. Spirit Box is a Canadian heavy metal band from Victoria, BC, formed by husband and wife duo guitarist Mike Stringer and vocalist Courtney LaPlante in 2017, after leaving their previous band, I Wrestled a Bear Once. I just put that in because I like that name. Eternal Blue is the band's debut studio album. It was released on September 17th, 2021 by Palcord Records in partnership with Rise Records, produced by Dan Brownstein and Mike Stringer, and features Courtney LaPlante on lead vocals, Mike Stringer on guitars, bass, drums, and background vocals, Bill Crook on bass and background vocals, and Zev Rosenberg on drums, with additional musicians Dan Brownstein on drums and Sam Carter on additional vocals. I'm just realizing there are no keyboard or programming credits.
Really?
Which is weird.
There was definitely keyboards on this album.
And programming. Interesting.
Totally.
Anyway, reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscatter.com, you'll find links to Eternal Blue on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. Track 1, Sun Killer. I like the mix of industrial and metal.
I do too. I think it's, I was trying not to like see what this was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, wait, what kind of music is this that we're listening to?
The first song I heard, the only song I'd heard of them before this album, I will say today I gave it a proper listen, but I kind of skimmed it before then. But before then, I heard the song Rotoscope, a song they put out this year.
Oh.
That sounds a lot like garbage until she breaks out into the distorted vocals.
So, I mean, they're kind of going for an Evanescence vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Although, on repeated listens, I'm like, wait a minute. That's like an electronic Iron Maiden.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's some Nin they pulled from.
But, playing like the Wasted Years riff on a keyboard.
Oh, yeah. There's a nice reverb on the vocals. The guitar and the bass are mixed nicely. A good blend. You can't really hear them distinctly. The whispered bridge really grabs your attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the middle section breakdown, too.
And she does some great distorted vocals. There aren't many women who do distortion.
No.
Death grunts or, screaming, whatever you want to call it. Not a lot of women do that, especially in this. She goes for that low guttural thing. And
I might pick this as my strongest, because it does grab you in the beginning here.
Yeah. And she leaves the distortion for the end, which was a nice touch. She sings the rest of it clean.
Yeah.
Track 2, Hurt You. This one gets a bit new metal.
Oh, yeah, totally. This is, I realize his, his screaming is a lot like Darren Malakian from System of a Down.
She does all the vocals except for the next track.
Oh, what? The
track 3 has the guest vocal.
Well, I mean, she's not doing the screaming, though, right?
Yes, she is.
Wait, that's her, too?
The only other vocalist is on track 3, Yellow Jacket. Everything
else
is her.
That's not a dude screaming.
No, that's her. That's why I was like, not a lot of women do distorted vocals. That's her.
Wait, I don't, I, well, no way.
Yep, the only other vocal credit, the guitarist Mike Stringer gets background vocal credits, as does Buck Crook. But no, those lead vocals are all her, except for on track 3.
I can't tell you how stunned I am.
It's been a few years since I've realized women can do it. There's a band called Anchor. They're on YouTube. Look them up.
I remember Anchor.
They have a female vocalist who does death grunts, proper deep death grunts.
Anchor was definitely a band that I would have played on back in the days of Montclair. This is like mid-90s at least, right?
No, they're a newer band.
All right.
But yeah, they have a female vocalist who does those deep guttural death grunts. She was the first time I saw a woman do it. And Ginger, who we'll be reviewing next, has been like the first time a lot of people saw a woman do death grunts.
I can't believe that's not a different person doing those
grunts. It's her. Yeah. And The interesting thing is when she sings Queen, she has a bit of a country vibe.
She does a lot with her voice. I mean, either Evanescence wise or, you know, when she's singing, I just can't get over this. That's not the background vocals, you know. No,
that's her.
That's really her.
And it sets up an interesting contrast on track two, because you get these kind of country-ish Queen vocals into the death grunt.
I have to, like, see this done live.
She also does it in their videos, so you can see that. I think the kick on this one's a bit high for my taste, but it is nice and tastefully used. It's not just, you know, constant, like, death metal kicks. It's got a good groove, nice harmonies in the chorus. I also like the nice sudden stop. It transitions nicely into the next track, track three, Yellow Jacket. This has a guest vocal of Sam Carter.
Okay.
This is my pick for weakest. I like the syncopated groove. It just gets a bit too Linkin Park and not in a good way.
Anytime they use electronica, I found myself enjoying, actually. I think they used it really well. I mean, at first I started getting tired of the yelling, but, you know, this he starts singing well in this.
This broke it up, too, because Sam Carter does a lot of it. And
yeah.
He's got a bit of that. It just gets a bit whiny for me.
Well, I like what they start doing at the last chorus, and I think they let it go a little too long. I think they should have just ended it with that, whatever the fuck they were doing in that last chorus. Mm-hmm. It was like this big flourish. And instead they just, they stopped and went back to the scream, and then they should have just ended.
Uh-huh. Track four, The Summit. Love the groove on this one. Nice, clean guitar tone. I like the vocal melody.
This is my pick for weakest, though. It reminded me a bit too much of the Serial Experiments of Lane Theme.
I like how the metal elements were introduced in the chorus, and the scream in the bridge was kind of interesting.
It was just a bit too syrupy for me, though.
Mm. That's the thing, because as much as they go into that metal, you know, industrial metal thing, there's also a lot of pop.
Yes. So it's a combination. There's a lot going on. And in fact, I did not realize they were Canadian until right before we started.
Mm.
And because I could have sworn I heard some Finger 11 in here, and them being Canadian would totally explain that, because only Canadians know really Finger 11 at this point.
Name rings a bell, but I don't know if I've heard any other song.
They had like a hit in the early 2000s here, that one thing.
Okay.
And the guy sounded a lot like Peter Gabriel.
Track five, Secret Garden. I like the verse riff, it's got a good groove. I like the busy kick. Nice harmonies in the chorus. I like the keyboard part at the end.
Yes, the keyboard. I call it a key bass, I guess, because they're kind of using the keyboards as a bass, but not a synth bass. It was kind of weird.
But again, there's no keyboard credit, so maybe it's all guitar?
Maybe. And maybe they're just, I forgot what they called that. Like the synth guitar kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it could be synth guitar. That's what it's called, the synth guitar.
Yeah.
Or it could just be a ton of effects on the guitar.
Yeah.
On to track six, Silk in the Strings. This is my pick for favorite. I like how it just belts you in the face out of the gate.
This is definitely one of those where it was considered one of the strongest. It's
great off-kilter riff in the first verse. Her best distorted vocals. And I like the blast in the bridge.
My mind is so blown that this is her, because the whole time on my notes was like, oh yeah, the dude's doing it, like, because just not looking up names or anything, I'm just listening to the music.
That's what blew my mind when I saw Rotoscope, because she's doing this, like, if she didn't even sound like she does on this. She sounded kind of like that monotone Shirley Manson thing.
Yeah.
And then busted into this death grunt.
So,
and my jaw just hit the ground.
It's like, I knew after two, really mellow songs that we were in for some ass kicking, and they did not disappoint here. It's very, Pantera by Demons Be Driven influenced here.
The next one.
And, and this is where I hear Finger 11 too, kind of. I think Finger 11 was influenced by Pantera too.
Track seven, Holy Roller. I like the opening chant. It's got a good groove, great distorted vocal. The guitar squeals in the chorus, very Dimebag. And a lot of this song is very, very Pantera.
You know, with that vocal distortion in the beginning, I was wondering, you know, why hasn't a metal band covered Mr. Roboto? But yeah, I like this more on like the second and third listens, actually. I think this is kind of where the flaw in the album started becoming obvious, and that is the track listing, the tracking order,
the sequencing, yeah,
the sequence of the songs, just disastrous.
For me, it was more of maybe they should have had a wider variety of songs. And I mean, it's been many years since I've been a metalhead, and I know metal is supposed to be kind of monotonous in that sense.
But I think they do have a variety if you think about it, because they're going from pop to metal.
They have a variety within the songs.
Yes.
But each song is kind of like the last one.
But this is where the start, you know, where like this is a strong song. But then after this, it like kind of the segue is like a what?
On to track 8, Eternal Blue. This is actually a second, a close second for me for favorite. I like the keyboard part in the verse, best clean vocal so far. Yeah. Like the off kilter riff when the guitar does come in. It's like a mix of a pop ballad with metal. Nice groove in verse 2 and a nice short melodic solo. First time I've noticed him taking a solo.
Yes, I have that in my notes. After 8 tracks, or through 7 track, 8 tracks, we finally have our first guitar solo. And it's kind of low in the mix, too. Mm-hmm.
And very short, which was nice.
Yeah, that's true.
As I've indicated in previous episodes, I've lost my taste for wankery, especially in metal.
Well, you know, as Jello Biafra once said, cock rock is like a bad laxative. It just doesn't move me, you know.
On track 9, We Live in a Strange World. I like the quirky, I'm going to keep saying synth because it's in my notes, but it's probably a guitar in verse 1. Like how the chorus builds, nice groove in verse 2, and love how the second chorus just explodes.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, like, whoa, you know, it's another good use of, well, what I keep calling my notes electronica, and I think it's some sort of electronic. There was even like a definite drum machine in this, too.
Yeah, there's some programming. Maybe the listing is wrong, or maybe they just don't want to admit that they use it.
I would say this is one of the strongest melodies on the album, really. And I'm a sucker for a build, of course, and they build on that melody. Yeah. And so it's definitely my favorite non-metal track on the album.
Track 10, Halcyon. Another nice transition. Good groove in the intro. Loses momentum in the verse. It goes from this nice heavy groove to this soft melodic chorus or verse. Like the high guitar part in the chorus, distorted vocals in the bridge are a nice change. Contrasts nicely with all the clean vocals. Has a nice false ending.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole drop and then scream back, it's a bit played out these days, but, you know, I think they did it well.
Track 11, Circle With Me. Nice contrast from the last song. Like the riff before the verse comes in, it's got a good groove. I like the vocal melody and the harmonies in the second verse. Love the chorus melody. Distorted vocals in the bridge. Again, nice change from, you know, mostly clean on that song.
Now, in the first listen, this is where I came up with the idea what I was going to do, because I was kind of getting, it was kind of wearing out its welcome at this point, definitely. And I realized I'm going to do something on my second listen that I've never done before in this show. I've listened to sides in reverse orders, but this time I decided I'm going to listen to it on shuffle.
Okay.
Just to fucking completely change the order. And I started with this song because I was kind of like, this seems like a good song, but for some reason it's just not working for me. And it's because I just listened to 10 songs that were, I feel like I've heard all of this already. And it really did work better listening to this earlier on than later.
That's, again, that's my issue with it. I think that's why I picked the favorite I did, the song that's really just all heavy.
Yeah.
Because we get this sort of poppy, metal-y thing throughout every other song.
Now, yeah, it's just, they really should have mixed it up better. I feel like it was very front-loaded.
Yeah.
Like, all the really good, heavy stuff was in the very beginning, kind of. And then you get a bunch of softer songs strung together.
Yeah.
I think they definitely needed to focus on, like, how to bookend this, you know?
And the obvious comparison that you brought up earlier is Evanescence.
Yeah.
Thing is, I think I would have liked Evanescence if they weren't so fucking overplayed. And
well, it was the whole weird Christian rock sort of thing that was just not, you know.
And if there wasn't that rapper on their first big single,
which
they didn't even want. I found out the record company insisted that he be on the track.
Oh, man.
I think I would have liked them more, but now
I probably would have too. Yeah, because I really hated that rapper.
Now they just kind of leave a bad taste in my mouth. So when I hear this, that really is in the same vein, but even poppier, it kind of puts me off. I do find it interesting. This is the third week in a row where younger bands, and particularly these guys and Wet Leg, because they're both on their first album, are very 90s influenced.
Oh, this one I would say is more 2000s.
Yeah, that's true. I always think Evanescence is 90s, but you're right.
Yeah.
But there's, like, nu metal was definitely late 90s.
Like, this is, I mean, there's very much of a System of a Down influence here.
Yeah.
Although my mind is just so blown that it's not two people doing the vocals like in System.
Yeah.
It's just one person playing both Darren and Serge's parts. That's crazy.
But it's still a younger band influenced by music 20 to 30 years old.
Yeah.
Which is
don't remind me that the 2000s are long ago.
But it's just surprising that they're influenced by so prevalently influenced by music that's that old. Anyway, finally on to track 12, Constance. Like the drums in the beginning, nice clean guitar tone. I like the guitar part when the verse picks up, and the orchestrated guitars in the chorus, they're just huge.
Yeah. Now, it's a nice song, but it just was not a good closer.
No.
Like, what were they thinking?
So do you recommend it?
I do. Man, if only, like, I think they've got 12 decent to good songs here. Actually, I would say 8 are really solid here. And then, you know, 4 kind of float in and out. I would, like, end this with my pick, I think, would have been Holy Roller to have closed the album out with. It, you know, has the pairing of the vocals again. It has that electronic-ness to it. But, yeah, I think this would have been I just listened to this on shuffle or something.
This is backwards week because I'm not recommending it. It's just too nu metal for me, and the clean vocals are just a bit too country.
It's rare to find a good metal album these days without it just being kind of a museum piece, you know? Like, you could see them building off of what was done in the 2000s, and I'm sure there might be some better examples of metal out there.
And that's it for Eternal Blue until 3 weeks from now, because we're taking the next 2 weeks off, when we'll be revealing Wallflowers by Ginger, another female vocalist who does some great distorted vocals.
God, when you said Wallflowers, I shuddered.
Yeah, I was waiting for a reaction to that. No, we will never review the band, the Wallflowers.
Well, I wonder how he got that job.
There are certain artists we won't review because one of us doesn't like them. The Wallflowers are a rare case where neither of us like them, so it would be
hard
pointless
to imagine
to
they
them.
Got a record deal, those guys, huh?
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.